A.
Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. It's hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use always on the broadcast. This is Friday, January 16th in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour one of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe in restoration, never revolution, but restoration of the principles that made the greatest country on the face of the earth. And we can do it again, ladies and gentlemen, if we return to those principles. Welcome to the broadcast. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic Friday. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. Normally, we have a Tech Watch hour for Tech Watch Radio on Fridays, but we've got a pressing interview, so we're skipping Tech Watch today. The previous broadcast update, or the summary, if you will, starts now, brought to you in part by raw honey. How would you like some raw honey, ladies and gentlemen? I'm telling you, it tastes fantastic. It's nutritious. It's delicious. It's available now. A variety of flavors or kinds, if you will. You can get honey with a tint of orange flavoring. It's not flavoring, I guess. It's just, what the pollen comes from, right? How the honey's made, what plants it's derived from, you might say. Anyway, get a hold of Kurt to learn more about it. Raw honey available now, shipped across the country to Give Me Liberty Fund members at incredible deals. So GiveMeLibertyFund.com to join the Give Me Liberty Fund, and then get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Our interview coming up the second half hour of the broadcast this hour, second hour, Dr. Scott Bradley, to preserve the nation. We'll jump into the roundtable. Former Sheriff Richard Mack, ladies and gentlemen, is doing well. He's home resting now. He had a heart attack several days ago. Thank heavens he's alive. It was 100% blockage of what they nicknamed the Widowmaker. But he's doing well. They got a stent put in. He's home and resting, and thank the heavens for that. In fact, when I called him, he was joking about needing some of his favorite food, pupusas. And I called him up and said, I think there's a pupusa shortage. And he said, I was thinking that. And so he's cheerful, and he's got his mind and everything all happening. So I don't know if you say no harm, no foul, but all I'm telling you is we're grateful that he's doing well. So have your prayers for former Sheriff Richard Mack on tap. Also, if you want to donate to CSPOA.org, any penny would help the cause of liberty. Enough is enough. John Boehner fills the House chamber with high drama as he lashes out against Obama. Drama? Obama? Wow. All right. That was pretty neat, huh? The president has ignored the people, ignored the Constitution, and he's even ignored his own past statement, said Boehner. Trey Gowdy got on the House floor and tore it up, too. Everybody's getting high marks for rhetoric, but they're not doing anything, ladies and gentlemen. They're not doing anything to stop Barack from his abuses of the law. They're just telling you how he's abused the law. You comfortable with that? The GOP budget amendment they claim that would hamstring Barack Obama passed. 237 to 190. And my response is not. It's not going to hamstring Barack. Come on. Barack's got an offensive initiative on about 500 things. You block one or two of them and he just simply snickers as he hammer dunks in your face. That's what Barack's doing. And the Republican Congress simply does not have an answer. It's like a full court press. They can't even get the ball over the mid-court line, can they? What a tragedy. It's like a one-man show. Barack taking on all the Republicans. And the Democrats just sit sidelined by and cheer for Barry. And the whole Republican team who controls the House and the Senate just goes, we don't even have an answer for this. We don't even have a single proposition that has validity and stability for solutions. We're so divided, so conquered, so manipulated, so controlled that we just can't even respond. The House supposedly defunds executive action, shielding illegals from deportation. Yeah. What's the Senate going to do with that? What's the president going to do with that? It's a great, neat vote to make you believe the Republicans are trying to get something done, folks, but it's not going to go anywhere. Illegals are in this country by the millions, by the tens of millions. And the Republicans helped make that happen. Don't you remember the first amnesty grant that I know of in mass was under the Reagan administration, folks? You think the Republicans are not in on this? Martin Luther King Jr.'s name or legacy, whatever you want to call it, has been enlisted to fight illegal immigration in Barack Obama's amnesty. All right. So just pitch the blacks against the illegals. That ought to get her done. Flashback. What's this guy or lady's name? Coretta Scott King. I guess that's what? Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece? Or is it his wife? Ex-wife? Who knows?
I think so.
What's the deal? Yeah. Is it the niece, Kurt?
I think it was his wife's name, if I remember right.
You got to check. I think he's got a niece out there.
That's what she said.
Babbling, too.
All right.
Anyway, they warned illegals to take black jobs. That's a way to divide and conquer America. Can't we just stand as Americans and say, hey, we want to have jobs for Americans, huh? $739 billion tax revenues for the first quarter alone. But, hey, they've got a raging deficit, $176 billion deficit. So we're just going backwards no matter the fact that we've got record tax DSA profits. I don't even know what to call that.
She was Martin Luther King's widow.
All right. Anyway, who's that niece out there running around then? She's been babbling at the brook, too. Everybody's taking advantage of Martin Luther King's name.
I don't know that.
You're probably related to Martin Luther, too, Kurt. You could probably take advantage of that somehow. You better research your roots, brother.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Charlie Hebdo in the news. I guess they got sell out of the magazine's what they call Survivor Edition. Kurt needs one of those for his files of history, historical files. They could say my dad was a news hound and he had the Charlie Hebdo magazine. I'm just, man, Kurt, you could be in. Daily walk adds years to your life. All you got to do is walk for 20 minutes. They say that's enough. I believe that walking is one of the best exercises of all. Believe it or not, did you know that walking exercises over 200 plus muscles in your body? Just thought I'd tell you that. That was hour one of the broadcast. Hour two brought to you by TetonSports.com. When you want indoor comfort outdoors when you're camping, do it right with Teton Sports. We had our guest on, Miss Becky Akers. She's an author of two books, Hailstorm, a book about Nathan Hale, and Abducting Arnold. They're both revolutionary new novels. Available now. Buy them before they're banned today. Look for Becky Akers, Hailstorm, and Abducting Arnold. Great books, by the way. Billionaire Carlos Slim doubles his holdings in the New York Times. He almost owns 17% of that baby now. The Mexican, I don't know, do you call him a tycoon? Anyway, this rich Mexican dude, the second richest man in the world, made his money in the socialist telecommunications market in Mexico. He wants to control the New York Times, ladies and gentlemen. He's doubling down. Is Charlie Hebdo a false flag operation? I think it is. Becky Akers thinks so. What do you think, Kurt? Do you think it's a false flag operation? Or do you think it's like legitimate stuff?
I don't know for sure.
All right. Kurt doesn't know. You know, I don't know either. I'm just telling you what I think from the information that I see. You know, do you think that World War II is a false flag operation, Kurt? What about the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr.?
The military-industrial complex has been working at it for a long time.
Yes, sir. Good point.
As far as that goes.
How about that JFK thing? Is that a false flag?
Well, I mean, we know there was a whole lot of crazy stuff going on with LBJ and the magic bullet. And, you know, yeah. I don't know if that means it's a false flag. But, you know, to me, it was a, you know, real... standard.
Yeah, Kurt's more into the real flag, ladies and gentlemen.
Snafu, you know.
Yeah, I hear that. Cedar City, that's Utah landowners, score an incredible victory over prairie dogs. Judge says the federal government can't just control private land. You gotta dig that. Off the charts. Government shows growth after showing years of shrinking. So now that the economy's back, the government's a growing again, ladies and gentlemen. Is that a good sign in your mind? Not mine for sure, because it's not constitutionally qualified. Appropriate government growth. Let me give you an example. We should have way more congressmen and senators. Did you know that? Or congressmen, at least. We should at least have more than 435 based on the population and the census and stuff. But we don't even have that, right? So government doesn't grow legitimately constitutionally. It just grows in terms of the bureaucrats, right? All right. Gerald Celente says a global economic collapse is coming. Do you believe him, Kurt? Think he's right?
You know, it all depends on a lot of different things.
Yeah, that means we just can't decide. Kirk doesn't know, ladies and gentlemen.
You get in big trouble when you say a certain date and that kind of thing because, you know, those kind of things are, you know.
So do you think he's right?
At least.
Is it coming?
Well, you know, it makes perfect sense. Did we already have a collapse when we had the Great Recession?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, the main thing you want to do is be prepared for whatever. And,
all right.
You know, then, like your buddies down in Mexico, you know, if you're out of debt and living lean, then you probably won't really even know what happens, whether it's good times or bad times.
Yeah, you'd be living slim a little different than Carlos Slim, just saying. All right. Kurt, did you get your flu shot yet, buddy?
Never had one in my whole life. I know I should be dead by now, but, you know, I never had one, and I sure hope I never get one.
I hear that. I've never had one either. However, this year they're kind of having to eat crow a little bit, Kurt. The flu shots are at most 23% effective this go-round or this season, if you will.
I'd rather eat crow than have a flu shot. You know,
I hear that.
You know, if I was going to do crow, I'd probably do a fried crow, you know, like fried foods.
Fried? Kurt, wouldn't you bake your crow at least? Come on.
No, I'd like fried myself. Everything tastes like chicken when you fry it up like that, you know?
Oh,
fried
chicken. See, yeah. And it's supposed to taste like chicken. Chicken's like the gold standard. You know what I'm talking about? Fascinating. They say that it depends on your age on how your immune system responds to the latest vaccine, Kurt, too. It's only, I don't know, in many cases it's like only 14% effective and this and that and that and the other. At the most, it's 23% effective. So, you know, you take a jab of this man-made toxic serum with all kinds of questionable chemicals and processes involved in it. And when you take that jab, 77% likelihood it's not going to do you any good. But just so you know, your government's still recommending it just for you, Kurt. You feel good about that? I'm kind of thinking that's like horrible odds.
Oh, stay away from that, ladies and gentlemen. Don't touch it.
Yeah, I hear that. It almost gives me the flu thinking about it. Oh, in fact, this one lady took the jab, and she was a super healthy person until she took the flu jab. Now she's dead, Kurt. Yeah, flu shot killed her, her mom says.
Yeah.
Her mom said that she was the epitome of good health until the flu shot, you know. Mm. Hate it when that happens. So it's like 23% effective unless you die, okay? Just thought I'd kind of put that in perspective for you. Kurt, this is a news story that I got from The Blaze that, again, we're going to try to, what do you say, help out the homeless, Kurt? And I hope we don't get schnookered like we did last time doing it. This story is brought to us by The Blaze, though, Kurt. You know, the Glenn Beck News Service. And I'm telling you, they have interesting news. When I watch that news site, they got pretty interesting news. I got to give Glenn Beck some credit for that website. They got a lot of interesting stuff they cover that others don't cover. So good for The Blaze. Anyway, headline says, customer asks pizza shop if he can buy a slice of pizza for the homeless, Kurt. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's probably, maybe the pizza shop could have, you know, lower margins on those pieces.
Well, maybe. I don't know. They don't cover that, Kurt. You might want to contact them. We can do a follow-up interview and get the skinny. Pizza doesn't make you skinny, but we'll get the skinny on that. And they say when customers enter Rose's Fresh Pizza Shop in Philadelphia, they can't miss the interesting walls, Kurt. There's hundreds of post-it notes and letters plastered all over the walls. That's evidence of customers' good deeds. You see, patrons at Rose's Fresh Pizza, they're invited to buy, listen, a slice of pizza for $1. Okay? So, if you buy a piece of pizza for the homeless, it's $1. Right? $1? Is that a fair deal for a piece of pizza, Kurt?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean,
depends on how big it is, right?
Kind of depends on the size. I mean, it's like the one guy that said, hey, man, what do you usually cut those pizzas up in? And he says, man, 8. He said, man, I can't eat 8. Cut it in 6. You know, I mean, you know,
I hear that. You cut it in 4, then it's even easier to eat. Anyway, I think it's usually 8 pieces to a pizza, about, you know, an 8, you know, if it's a good size pie and a good, you know, pretty decent a buck. That it's not, you know. They say it's a program that shop owner Mason Wortman started last year. A customer came in and said, "Hey, man, I want to buy a slice of pizza to help feed a homeless person. Is that cool?" And it's what the owner of this pizza place did next that really sets the pattern of the trend, Kurt. It's Rose's Fresh Pizza. He decided to put up a post-it note to show that the slice has been purchased, intimating to others to do the same. 9 months later, Kurt, more than 8,400 slices of pizza have been purchased for those in need. And they say that it helps 30 to 40 homeless people who head to Rose's Fresh Pizza each day for a meal, according to National Public Radio, NPR. Again, I'm going to give NPR some credit for covering this piece. I'm going to give Glenn Beck credit for covering this piece. And we're going to cover it and give them credit, too. The messages on the walls come from both. The generous individuals who give money to help the homeless. And for those who are using the program to get back on their feet. In other words, people are homeless folks, Kurt, are actually sending gratitude letters. One starving family who literally benefited from the pizza program wrote a letter last summer expressing their intense gratitude. "This program is unbelievable. My words cannot explain how grateful my children and I am. We were starving and I was trying to find a way to feed them. God bless." Anyway, Rose's Fresh Pizza, Kurt. Another note from a person who's been homeless for the past 6 years read, "I deeply appreciate everything that Mason," that's the owner, "has done for me. When I get back on my feet, I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that I pay back or pay it forward to help somebody else, just like Rose's Pizza has done for me. Those who come in and participate on all fronts are truly kind people." And there you have it. Now, believe it or not, Kurt, sometimes homeless people have a couple of dollars that they've got from somebody else. In other words, let's say that a homeless person's on the street and somebody gives them a couple of bucks. This pizza place says it's not uncommon for a homeless person to come in and, believe it or not, not ask for free pizza, but say, "I was given $2. Can I have a piece of pizza, and can I leave a piece of pizza for the next guy that needs one?" Now, Degeneres, believe it or not, featured this pizza place on her show, and then she literally gave $10,000 from Shutterfly to help in the efforts, Kurt. So you got to even give Ellen some credit for jumping on this thing. And, you know, I don't know if when you mentioned that the prices could, you know, be a little discounted for the homeless, I don't know if they're discounted or that's the normal price of a pizza, but usually a single piece of pizza is more than a buck, Kurt. So I suspect it's discounted, but I have not confirmed that. Any information you want to weigh in on this? Usually a pizza, a single piece of pizza might be $1.50 or $1.25 or something. So I think if they're just saying a buck for pizza and there's no taxes, just give a buck and we'll have a slice of pizza for the homeless. I think it's already discounted. I think the pizza place is kind of going in on it, if you will, meaning decreasing their margins.
I'll be surprised if we don't hear the mayor of this city or some government bureaucrat speaking up and saying, "Man, you guys can't be doing that, you know. I mean, we're the charity guys, you know. I mean, you guys are busting in on our action here, you know."
Yeah, mm-hmm. Most likely like they'll rain on a pizza parade.
In Florida, remember
that. But I want you to get a hold of Rose's Pizza in Philadelphia, Kurt, and see if we can get this owner on. I think it's phenomenal. And again, you could be critical of it. You could say, "Oh, that's just their way of selling pizza." You could rain on that parade. You could downplay it. You could whatever you want to. But I'm telling you right now, in my opinion, it's a very valuable way to go about it, Kurt. And it kind of got me thinking, what would it take? I mean, you could literally go into Little Caesars, too, and buy pizza for $5. Tell them to slice it into, say, 6 pieces or whatever. Just say you sliced it. Just say you set up where these are homeless Little Caesars pizzas for $5, right? Hot and ready pepperoni pizzas, $5. Slice it in 5 pieces, and then you'd have a, you know, it's not a huge piece, but it's a pretty decent size for a buck. And, you know, you could even just hand out pizza to the homeless. That could be done all over the place. And you know, at $5 a pizza, I don't think Little Caesars is making a gazillion dollars. How much does it cost to even make a pizza like that? But then the next question that I have, Kurt, on this, too, is...
Here's the phone number.
The phone number? What do you want me to do with it?
Well, I just figured, you know...
You're supposed to call
him. Just call him live and...
All right, go ahead.
You know, all right, 215...
All right, hold on, I got to write down this number. Hold on, Kurt wants me to just scramble and write this thing down, and then he wants me
to
call.
Well, I'll do it if you want me to.
I was hoping Kurt would call, but what he wants to do is he wants me to call right now.
You want to hear it on
speakerphone? I was hoping you'd talk to him and set up an interview. No, I was hoping you'd set up an interview. I'll just do it all on the air. Go ahead, give me the number.
You know, that way I won't forget.
Okay.
Here's
you're not supposed to forget.
Here's
215-627-6727.
215-627-6727. It's
6727.
Rose's Pizza. Is this Rose's Fresh Pizza?
Yep.
Hey, you guys got some great pizza there in Philadelphia?
Yeah, we do.
Good. We heard about your story feeding the homeless. We appreciate it. Yeah, are you the owner?
Yeah, I was the guy you probably saw on Ellen.
Well, very good. Anyway, we'd like to arrange for some kind of an interview with
you. You're supposed to do stuff off the air.
If you can, we'll
set it up, Kurt,
call you back later, or what time would work well for you? We're live on the air 7 to 9 Mountain Time. Do you have any time available during that?
So you're on the radio?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, tell him he's not on the radio right now, Kurt. He's not on the radio.
Oh, okay, he's not.
Eastern.
Yeah,
kind of is.
Eastern, that would be 9 to 11 Eastern.
Normally he's not on the radio. What do you do with Kurt Crosby? He's like half on the radio.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm going to mute Kurt, and I'm going to continue with the program, and then Kurt can, like, finish that thing, right? We got a guest coming up. It's a chiropractor on the air, too, ladies and gentlemen. And this chiropractor's got some very unique practices in terms of how he runs his chiropractic business. He uses modern scientific techniques, which we'll get into. And we'll go ahead and take care of that. That interview's coming up here in just a minute. Meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, 40% Utah voter turnout sets what they call historic low in the state of Utah. And the Associated Press story is quite interesting. Dateline Salt Lake City, 6 out of 10 active registered voters in Utah chose not to cast ballots last election, setting a new historic low for voter turnout. They say this year, only 40%, that's about 496,000, that's out of the 1.2 million active registered voters, decided to cast ballots. Turnout's always lower on, quote, non-presidential year elections. But data from the Lieutenant Governor's website goes back to 1960 and shows that the previous low for the turnout was 45%, set back in 1998, but it's getting even worse. And they say part of the decline might be the steady rise in apathy among voters. That began years ago, they say, but this year's ballot didn't help. There's only one statewide race, a special election for the Attorney General, and 3 out of 4 congressional races were not very competitive at all. Anyway, we'll finish up on this. Our guest coming up in seconds, and you'll get the pizza update from Kurt. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is Mercy, It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. They're calling it a troubling trend in the state of Utah with a voter turnout in mid-elections of 40%. Usually you get 40 to 50 into maybe 60% registered voter turnout. And the big story says people are disengaged from their government. And people basically feel like somebody else will represent their views. And my response to a lot of this discussion about the voter turnout, hey, people just feel like their votes don't matter. Now you can say, well, Sam, that isn't true. They do matter. I'd be the first to agree with you on that. I'm just telling you that people feel disenfranchised. Look, voting has become kind of a big money man's game, right? I mean, look, it's going to take, what, $1 billion just to even consider being president? Okay? It takes so much money. People are so frustrated that none of their views get carried out that they just feel disenfranchised. Now, is the right thing to do not to vote? Of course not. The right thing is to vote, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just saying, as a whole, the right thing to do is vote. To take your responsibility seriously. And not to just vote, but to get involved in other ways. Okay? The Founding Fathers said you have a republic if you can keep it. That means we've got a lot of work to do. We need to really get involved. Remember, really, the government is we the people, right? And so it's a sad commentary, but I can see why people are frustrated. I just would recommend the solution is to get involved. All right, a quick update. Sorry, I had to disconnect Kurt while he was doing that inviting to be on the show because you can't put people on the radio without their knowledge. And so Kurt kind of had the guy half on the radio and half not. And he didn't know if he was on or not. And anyway, what did he say, Kurt? When's he coming on?
He gave me his email address and that kind of thing, and so I've copied you to
arrange
for it. All
right, perfect. And we'll go ahead and arrange for it, put him on the radio, and it'll be perfect. And it's a good interview. It'll be fun. I think what they're doing is fantastic. People can buy a slice of pizza for the homeless for $1 at this one pizza place, and it's going viral, and people are making a difference. And I really think it's a good idea. I think it's a great way to take care of somebody. The question is how you get really healthy pizza. I mean, the healthier the pizza, the more valuable it could be for the homeless. If you could get some nutrition to kick in, etc. Well, speaking of people who know about health, Dr. Bruce Lowry is with us. Actually, he's your chiropractor, right, Kurt?
Yes, he is. Over the years, we've moved through a number of different chiropractors, and we've found that at least for us. We feel that he offers a lot of great things. And you know, we recognize that not everybody lives in our neighborhood. Like the guys in Missouri or the guys in Ohio or the guys in Oregon, you know, probably not going to cruise down to the 15th anniversary that he's enjoying and, you know, go to the open house at his new location tomorrow here in Utah. But with the whole Obamacare and the whole move to health, I guess you could say sick care is what I call it, but, you know, my hope that people will move more and more to the good things of ways to do health, then I wanted to bring Dr. Lowry on. And so,
well, and the point,
you know,
is,
that's
Kurt,
the reason.
The point is to highlight the value of the chiropractic profession, to highlight the solutions that are available through them. And even if you can't go to Dr. Bruce Lowry, if you're not in our neighborhood, if you come to Utah, you certainly can. But you can learn about chiropractic, you can get involved, you can learn about the practices they put in place. It's kind of like I can't really go to this Philadelphia pizza place tomorrow either. But yet, you know what? They're doing a great work, and they ought to be highlighted nationally. And Dr. Bruce Lowry has been in business for 15-plus years. Tomorrow, I guess, is the celebration. It'll be at his new offices, so we'll talk about that. Dr. Bruce Lowry, welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me here.
Did you hear about this pizza place that you can basically pay it forward? You pay a dollar, and you can buy a homeless person a piece of pizza.
Hey, it's a great idea.
I think it's fantastic.
I agree with you. We need to get more nutrition in that, though.
Yeah. And I think we need
a pizza with all the vegetables on it.
That's what I'm thinking. My favorite pizza, believe it or not, I like a lot of different kinds of pizzas and everything, but my favorite pizza, believe it or not, is a very thin sliced pizza with a bunch of vegetables on it.
Sounds great.
They're phenomenal. All right, so tell us about your practice. Kurt was kind of telling me that you've got a lot of modern technology and capabilities in your practice, and you, it's more of a holistic point of view, right?
I do. In fact, when you talk about Obamacare and wellness as a country, I think a lot of us would agree that our brains are very powerful. And as a chiropractor, what we want to do is help your body to heal itself, stay well, versus trying to treat symptoms and sickness. And that doesn't mean just because you live your best, you're going to always, you know, avoid a situation or have things go on. But obviously, if we can exercise and we can eat right and we can get the nervous system to function 100%, then we can function 100%. But if your nervous system isn't talking to your body, you're eventually going to have something break down.
How do you deal with that? Because, you know, a lot of people just kind of feel like, hey, I'm healthy enough. Come on. You know what? I know I got all the... And when you talk to them, at first they say they're healthy, but when you really talk to them, they're not, right?
That's absolutely true. And a lot of us let things kind of slide by. Unfortunately, and I'd say over the 15 years, coming into chiropractic, I'm like the rest of you. I had not been exposed to chiropractic growing up. Cracking my knuckles, I was told, was bad for my knuckles. I was going to get big, painful knuckles. And I thought chiropractors just kind of adjusted joints now and then. When I came out of school, I was focused on the pain, low back patients, neck. And I don't see that 15 years later. I want to see that nervous system functioning at 100%. Because if it's not, you're not functioning 100%. A good example of that is sometimes we can shut things down in the sensory system. If you go into grandma's house and she just cooked a great meal and you walk in the door, you smell that and it brings back memories and it feels good. But after you've visited with everyone for a few minutes, do you smell that same smell? No, it's kind of diminished. We have the ability to suppress the sensory system to a degree.
Yeah, your point is it really hasn't diminished at all, but really your knowledge or understanding of that is diminished, right?
Actually, the brain's able to put that aside. If it didn't, you'd go nuts. Like a good example would be, can you feel your toes right now?
But only when I think about it and wiggle them.
Exactly. But imagine if that sensory system was constantly given stimuli. If you felt everything, your clothes, your hair, everything wiggling all the time, we'd go nuts. So we have the ability to shut that down. So if you just have a little bit off, we tend to just cope with it. And unfortunately, we start calling it, we're getting older, things like that, and we ignore it. But in all honesty, if you're not functioning, eventually something's going to break down. If you're not functioning, you know, as well as you can do. Now, we're all at different levels. My 10-year-old daughter is going to function a lot better than my grandfather. Age has a role in there, but we still want to function the best we can so that our bodies can heal and do what it's supposed to do. The body's designed to be a self-healing, healing organism. And we want to allow that to happen. And by freeing that nervous system, then the body's able to do that. Now, there's other things involved. Nutrition's huge. If you can't feed the body and get the nutrients to the cell can't do what it needs to do. If you don't have enough water to flush out the toxins and hydrate the cell is diminished by that. Stress plays a role. Today's world, I see a lot of emotional problems that come in that are being presented physically in symptoms.
That's kind of an interesting concept, because a lot of times what we want to do in the Western world is we want to simply say, you know, my finger hurts, therefore it's a finger problem. Or I know that's simplistic, but it makes the point. We want to deal with it after the fact, and that's why Kirk kind of calls it sick care. And then we want to basically just suggest that it's localized. It must be my finger. The reality is we're starting to see more and more of a holistic approach where we say, you know what, it may or may not be the finger, and you can't really deal with it after the fact. The real answer to health care, or to wellness care, if you will, is to try to take care of your body on the onset before anything bad happens, and try to take care of things in a holistic manner and try to look at the whole body and say, hey, what might be out of whack and what then effects might be downstream that may show up later, and at first seemingly unrelated, right?
Absolutely. And Sam, like you said, preventive care is much easier and cheaper to take care of than sick care. And we do live in a country where we're kind of based on the symptomatic knowledge, thoughts, the sick care mentality. I'll wait till it's broken. And that's easy because we don't notice it until the pain hits, and then we're pretty motivated. But if we could simply live healthier and do better as a society, our health care costs would diminish in large numbers.
How is Obamacare going to mix this up? In the past, it's been, hey, if I believe in alternative medicines or I believe in chiropractic capabilities, I can just simply go there. Now, the world's a-changing, isn't it?
They are changing. I think people are going to find that the alternative care, if they're taking care of themselves, becomes cheaper. It's going to cost less. I think Obamacare is going to drive more people into seeking help instead of waiting for symptoms to hit. It's harder to get hold of. We're forcing the society into insurances that they weren't able to afford before. I think there's a great idea behind it. I think as a whole, it's going to hurt the country.
It's certainly going to ratchet up the cost of health care. And the reason that is because instead of it being a risk-reward analysis in the private sector based on individuals and families and groups and et cetera, now it's a, hey, one size fits all in a sense that, hey, you got to take on everybody and you got to analyze that risk-reward over the whole kind of shoot and match. And as we divorce people from really dealing with the cost and reality of their health care, then the cost goes up because there's not near that detailed oversight that might be if you were personally intimately involved in the details. And so I think as a whole, the costs are going to go up and folks are going to look for, as you mentioned, solutions that are outside the traditional. They're going to look at, you know, holistic doctors, and they're going to look at chiropractors, and they're going to look at preventative medicines and exercise and nutrition and other solutions before they even get to that, what's eventually going to be, I believe, quite a mess.
I agree. I think it's going to get harder and harder. And I hear patients come in often and just frustrated with insurance as a whole. How is it going to affect them? It's actually causing stress amongst a lot of individuals.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about what you do when somebody comes in. Do you start out with x-rays? Do you ask them a bunch of questions? Give me kind of an idea of the analysis. A lot of people just believe, hey, if I go to a chiropractor, they're just going to crack my back and send me on my way. It isn't that simple, and people need to understand that chiropractors do a whole lot more than just align your back, right?
They certainly do, and we're all individually a little bit different. Obviously, this is kind of like an art. One artist isn't going to draw the painting the same as the other. But as a whole, we're looking to free that nervous system and allow the body to heal itself. When a patient comes in here, I do acupuncture as well, and so I look at the energy side of things a little bit differently. I've done some emotional work, and so when a patient comes in, I kind of want to identify what's really going on. I hear them talk about their pain. They want to know about that. I want to know what caused that to happen. Where did it start breaking down? Is it because of your job and you're not, you know, paying attention? You don't understand that the nervous system is housed by a group of bones that if they miss a line or they get in a different position, they're going to create an internal stress in that communication system between brain and body. And how can I help them to identify that and manage themselves? I want them to do as much as they can outside of my office so that I'm not a Band-Aid to their symptom, but I can start to become a help to their preventative care, help them to just stay balanced and stay well.
Well, it's seeing you for professional care, but it's also a little bit of guidance counseling in terms of day-to-day living and exercises and how to live well, right?
It absolutely becomes that. And I think Kurt would agree, I do a lot of talking. I'm trying to educate patients. I'm trying to help them see that there's more to this. They have to participate with it. I'm just helping the body free itself so that they can then heal themselves. But if they continue to do what they're doing and damage the spine or the nervous system under pressure, it's not going to work well. They're going to be just continually in pain, out of pain for a little while, in pain, out of pain. And we'd like to see them, you know, living well day to day.
All right.
You know, one thing that I was just going to say, Sam, one thing that some individuals have had experience with chiropractic over the years and, you know, have had bad, I guess you could say just bad experiences. How do you deal with that kind of thing, Dr. Lowry? I know at least as I've watched you, you know, I mean, the standard chiropractor is not using acupuncture. They're not doing muscle testing, you know, a number of other things, at least in my experience over the years. And so you've, you know, kind of broken ground maybe in some of those areas. You know, how do you kind of help somebody? Let's pretend that Sam, for example, had a rough
Kurt's going to try to pretend.
How would
what
you,
he's really doing is telling you
how
about
would
my
you
experiences
move,
on the air, but that's all right.
How would you move Sam to... you know, better health and that kind of thing, you know,
it's kind of like
even though he's had a rough, you know, situation in the past.
It's kind of like a dentist, doctor. Most of us have had some pretty rough dentists where we're like, oh, man, going to the dentist is horrible. It's just, but yet, you know what, there's a real big difference in terms of some dentists and how they approach it versus others in terms of one, technology, two, how they approach things, right?
Yeah, and, you know, that's honestly a challenge because everyone is quite different and their experiences play a role in that. So as a doctor, I have to really take a patient as they come in and say, okay, what can we do to help you? If you've had a bad experience, what was it? What part of your body was adjusted? How was it adjusted? And can we help you move forward and maybe do it in a different way? In some cases, it's just acupuncture. As Kurt mentioned, I muscle test. And the reason I use the muscle test is to give me knowledge of where to adjust. But more importantly, I think I use the muscle testing to help the patient understand that that brain you house in your head controls every single function in your body. And if I push on that arm and it's weak, and I can then help you free that nervous system, be it through an adjusting a really light technique or actually physically moving it, and I sit you up and that muscle goes strong, you have to ask yourself, why did that happen? All he did is gently manipulate me or move something, and now I have a strong muscle. How did that happen? It's just by freeing the nervous system. So I do muscle test quite a bit. I have to determine from a patient. I have several of them that do not like their necks rotated. That's been a bad experience for them in the past. So I have to slow down and work with them a little slower, find another way to help free that nervous system. It might be through a tool that we're able to adjust with. It may be just lateral pulling, stretching the neck, moving around. But whatever it takes to help that patient's nervous system free, that's what we want to do. It doesn't need to be a one-size-fits-all.
A lot of times I think people turn to medications for things that if they were to go to a chiropractor or go to a holistic-type practitioner, whether you use acupuncture or whether you use chiropractics, whatever is used, muscle testing, I find that a lot of times you can reduce pain, you can help people sleep, you can help people with their digestive system. The list goes on and on, and I think people would be surprised at how many things a chiropractor can actually really work on and make a difference regarding. I think most people just think, oh, man, they're going to crack my neck and tell me not to crack my fingers, and hey. But there's really a whole science here.
Well, let's go back to that sick care. If I have digestive problems and I take a Tums and it goes away, did you fix the digestive problem? Or did you buffer the acids in the stomach and took away just a symptom until the next time it happens? If I have a headache and I take an aspirin, what does it fix? And I'm not against Western medicine. I don't want to live in a country that doesn't have the technology in Western medicine that we have. I am thankful to the doctors and the medicine we have. However, we use it too often for wellness care. Taking medication isn't going to fix the headache. It's going to shut off your brain's ability to sense what's happening, with the hope that the body will reset, maybe the pressure will go down, I'll get a good night's sleep, and tomorrow I won't feel it. We need to get away from that. There are headaches that are not just structurally related, but the majority of them are. So if I can free that and get you to change your posture, change the way you sit, change the way you see your neck so that you can help take that pressure off, I have lots of patients that have come to me and told me about headaches they've had forever, tried lots of things. And when we start doing the postural changes and we start getting them to make changes, they're now living quite well. Some of them might get a dull headache, but you compare that to what they had, they're as happy as can be, and they continue to improve. Sometimes we're chasing symptoms, and sometimes that can make things even worse.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bruce Lowry with us. He's got an open house happening tomorrow, January 17th. It'll be at your new offices. Where are they and what time?
It is. In fact, we're real excited because we've moved into a really nice clinic here, and we're excited to be here. It's in Pleasant Grove, Utah, at 559 West State Street. We'll be here tomorrow from 10 to 2, and we're going to have the massage therapist here doing a little bit of work and the staff. We're going to do some raffles. We're just excited to share with the community and have them come in and see the facility and give us a chance to talk about some of the alternative things that we can help them with.
And what time is this at?
That will be from 10 a.m. to 2, Saturday the 17th.
All right, it's 5:59 West. Go ahead, Kurt.
I was just sorry to interrupt, Sam.
Yeah,
I was just
going
to say before. Address. So was it 550?
559 West State Street in Pleasant Grove, and you can find that if you go to my website at thechiro.net.
The Chiro. So that's thechiro.net. But, you know, before we let you go, Doc, one of the things I wanted to have you do is pretend that you're counseling someone, you know, and they're, I don't know, thousands of miles away, and you're telling them how to find a good, good service in their area. What would you suggest they do to be able to, I guess you could say identify help where they live?
You know, I think you got to rely a little bit on the social circle around you. And get out there and ask some of your friends, who have they gone to? What was their experience? Have they tried other people? You know, because they're all different. I'm not going to please everyone that comes to me. That's just unfortunately a sad part of me, but it's a reality. I have an art that's gentle. I really end up with a lot of those patients that have been out before, haven't had a good experience, and I'm trying to help them move forward with a different one. I'm looking for doctors out there with my patients. When I send them, they move away, that are going to take a time to look at their case, evaluate what's going on, and then spend some time with them in the beginning to really understand how we're going to best help you move to your goal. What is it you want to accomplish? Sometimes we see clinics that are just tomorrow, this is unfortunately the feeling you're going to have, get me in, get me out, because we're just going to give an adjustment, give them an opportunity to feel it and experience it. But when you get into a care situation, you want a doctor that's going to take time to really fill it out, understand what's going on, and from time to time make sure that you're progressing forward.
You know, all chiropractors aren't the same. How do you find the best in the business? You know, it's all, whenever you want a lawyer, you always want to find the best one, right? How do you find the best?
Yeah, again, I think it's that social circle. It's talking to friends. You know, who have you seen, and comparing it. Have you seen anyone else? Sometimes you need to go see another person just to get a difference in their personality, their techniques, what they do. I feel sorry if someone just comes once and walks away, because I have a big toolbox, and if you come in and one tool doesn't work, maybe we need to try another one. And so, you know, give the doctor a chance to understand what you've experienced, what you're going through. Be open with them. You know, hey, doc, when you do that, I don't enjoy it. And if it's worth it and I'm really getting better, great, but is there another way to do this? Because there is a large selection of tools out there, if I can use that analogy, to help you move forward. Imagine going to a mechanic and all he had was a crescent wrench. I mean, how much is he going to fix? But as he gets more and more tools, he can do more and more work. He might be able to change your battery, but that's about it. So we need to have the tools to work with each individual person. And, you know, Sam, we are all vastly different. I get patients come in that you touch their necks and they're like, and you get another one comes in and says, no, you got to really move that doctor. I don't enjoy it. I want to hear explosion. We need to be able to cater to all that and get the job done. So I would say go out and talk to your social circles. Find out who they've been to, what the care was like. Did they feel like they were just rushed in, rushed out? An adjustment only takes 2 minutes. But educating and making sure the patient is doing what they need to do takes a little bit more. So if you want to really get some care, find the patient, the doctor, that's going to take time to do that.
And
the other thing I would say, consider massage along with it. You know,
absolutely.
A good massage person, man, I just can't tell you how, you know, valuable that is, in my opinion.
You're absolutely right. Once you free that nervous system, if you can then help that muscle to heal and mend, that is a great combination.
Technology has really changed the chiropractic field quite a bit over the last couple of decades, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. There's lots. We have a laser here, and it's created a lot of change in my office for me.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt, tell everybody where to go and when. Are you going to be there, Kurt? They can get their picture.
No, I won't be there tomorrow. I'll be at the Eagle Forum event in Salt Lake City. But it's between 10 and 2, celebrating 15 years in business there in Pleasant Grove, Utah. What is the address, Dr. Lowry?
559 West State Street in Pleasant Grove.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
The official Liberty Roundtable chiropractor, Dr. Bruce Lowry. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's a wrap. Hour one in the can. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Hour two coming up in seconds. The next doctor of a different ilk, if you will. We're talking about a political doctor in a house coming up next hour, huh? All right. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. You want to turn any phone into a radio, it's simple and free. Simply smile and dial 712-432-5339. That's 712-432-5339. We're live and on demand on the Roku player. We're live and on demand at libertyroundtable.com. If you want to click and help us grow and make a difference, please get involved today. And I'll tell you about my chiropractic pros and cons here next hour with Dr. Scott Bradley as well. All right? Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. You going to help? Hey, thanks.